mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today, construction on a major reconfiguration of the I-75 County Road 99 interchange is about to start. We'll get an update from ODOT on the timeline. Also this morning, cryptocurrency investing has been one of this year's hottest trends, and the latest Bitcoin halving is happening soon. We'll explain what that is and why it matters. And happening around town, the inaugural one was a big success, so now it's time to put the pedal down and break the cycle of homelessness with City Mission's second annual bicycle tour. We'll have details. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Tuesday, April 16th, 2024. In the least surprising breaking news story maybe ever, the Indiana Fever have selected Caitlin Clark with the number one pick in the 2024 WNBA draft. I fired up the computer this morning, and that was the first story that jumped out at me. On the newswire, it came up, breaking news, Caitlin Clark goes number one in the WNBA draft. I was like, that would be like breaking news, the sun comes up today. You know, I mean, was there ever any doubt? The former Iowa guard set numerous records during her career with the Hawkeyes. In her senior season, she became the all-time NCAA Division I men's and women's scoring leader. She also achieved the most three-pointers in a single season by any male or female Division I player, became the first player in NCAA tournament history with three career 40-point games. She goes number one overall to the Indiana Fever. So, big, big news that no one saw coming. This may be the second most obvious story of the day. So, I saw the Caitlin Clark story first. Then this is the next thing that pops up. I swear, this is the next thing that pops up. And is this really news? It says the majority of Americans would feel better if they had more sleep. I'm not sure which is less surprising. Caitlin Clark getting drafted number one overall, or the majority of Americans saying they feel better if they had more sleep. A new Gallup survey finds 57% of Americans said that they would benefit from more sleep. Actually, the biggest surprise there is that it's only 57%. 42% who say that they get enough sleep. That's the surprising part, because I would have figured nowhere near that number of people said that they get enough sleep. I know no one who gets enough sleep. Do you? And do you know who are these people that say, oh, yes, I get enough sleep? They must be retired folks. Anyway, you're not going to find them in the office. That's true, because they're not working. This is the first time since Gallup began polling the question in 2001 that less than half said that they get as much sleep as they need. Really? Let me read that again to make sure that I got that right. It says, this is the first time since Gallup began asking the question in 2001 that less than half said they get as much sleep as they need. Really? Again, that is a surprise. The last time the poll was conducted in 2013, the numbers were nearly reversed. 56% said that they did get enough sleep, and 43% said that they did not. And so now that's almost a complete 180 there. That is a bit surprising, but Americans said that they would feel better if they had more sleep. Well, duh. By the way, this is something in conjunction with that. This is a separate poll of 2,000 adults. Finds the most stressful time of the day is 8:15 a.m. Again, shocker, mornings are the most stressful time of the day. Mornings are the most stressful time of the day, and specifically 8:15 a.m. 35% of those in this poll say they feel stressed during the first part of the day. 51% say they are often overwhelmed after climbing out of bed in the morning. Common anxieties include being able to leave the house on time, to get to work, getting kids ready for school, looking for your car keys, and figuring out what to wear. Okay. I don't know that I've ever really stressed out over figuring out what to wear. I mean, not on a day-to-day basis. I mean, if I've got something special, you know, some special occasion, some fancy soiree to go to, then I might wear it. But maybe that's just because I'm a guy. I don't know. But figuring out what to wear on a day-to-day basis is not necessarily an anxiety-inducing thing for me. Then again, too, I work in radio where people don't see me, so that might have something to do with it. Anyway, if you are looking for ways to reduce stress in the morning, prepping your meals the night before, laying out your outfit, choosing your outfit the night before, waking up before the kids, you get up before the kids, that is definitely a stress reliever, and delegating responsibilities, which I don't know if that would necessarily work, at least for me, delegating responsibilities to others, because then I'd be stressed out over whether the people that I've delegated those responsibilities to will actually follow through. You know what I mean? That to me is even more anxiety inducing, but that's what they say. So, yeah, this is the big news, one of the big stories. Apparently on Sunday, and I did not see this, I actually DVR'd it and I haven't watched it yet, Billy Joel's concert special that aired on CBS on Sunday was interrupted in the middle of his song, Piano Man, the classic tune. They cut away for the late local news. And it was because of the Masters earlier in the day. The Masters ran a little bit long on Sunday evening, final round. And so that meant 60 minutes right after the Masters was late. And that meant that the Billy Joel concert special was late in getting started. But they didn't want to delay the late local news. And so CBS basically pulled the plug before the show was over. Even before the song was over, they've waited till the end of the song, Piano Man. People probably wouldn't even have noticed or cared. But because they cut out in the middle of that iconic song, it became sort of a Heidi moment in reverse. Remember the Heidi game when they cut away from the football game for the film Heidi back in the day? This was the opposite. They stayed on the Masters until it was done and cut away from the concert early. But people are still up in arms. So CBS has apologized, and not just to fans, but also to Billy Joel himself. And they say, due to the overwhelming demand from the Legion of Billy Joel fans, the entire concert performance will air again in its entirety this Friday, beginning at 9 p.m. So if you wanted to see it or wanted to see it in its entirety, if you were among those who were upset, because the whole thing was thrown off by the Masters. I guess you could say, because it was thrown off by the Masters, this is a mulligan for CBS, right? That's another way you put that is, but it'll be on Friday. A couple of other things here among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. If you love to travel with your pet, Bark Air might be your new favorite airline. How about this? Bark Air claims to offer a more fun and humane option for dogs traveling with their human companions. There's a new airline they have just launched. Now, it's not cheap. Flights between New York, London, and Los Angeles will start in late May and cost up to $8,000 one way. $8,000 one way. Now, I'm not sure if that is a ticket for both you and your dog or whether you need to buy separate tickets for both, but $8,000 each way. Dogs are allowed to bring one human companion along for the ride. During the flight, canines will receive treats and dog anxiety blankets. And this is kind of interesting. On Bark Air, no children allowed. Children will not be allowed on Bark Air flights due to tail pulling concerns. It says here. And also, clapping during landings is discouraged as the sound could alarm the dogs. So there's catering to the dogs. But I like the idea, no clapping when you land the plane. I might be ready to pay $8,000 a pop just for that prohibition. If you've ever been on a plane where applauded when people landing. Jeez. And did you get your taxes done yesterday? Of course, tax deadline day was yesterday. And I don't know if you procrastinated until the very last day or not. But for those who did, this was not what you wanted to have happen. Apparently, hundreds of H&R Block customers reported that their website was down on tax day. Oops. Troubles appeared to begin Monday morning around 8 a.m. 95% of customers reported issues in trying to file their taxes. 95% of customers reported issues. yesterday on tax deadline day at H&R Block. I mean, of all the days for the website to go down, that is not the day. The company posted a message on social media. We are aware of an issue preventing some users from e-filing their returns. We are working on the problem. Apparently, they did get it fixed, and eventually everybody got to file. But when you talk about anxiety-inducing moments, H&R Block, oh, that's bad luck. That is bad. And I would imagine someone in the H&R Block IT department probably does not have a job today. There's heads rolling at H&R Block. And by the way, speaking of taxes, apparently President Biden and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden filed their taxes yesterday. Now, you would think that the president of all people would not wait until the last minute. Doesn't he have people that can handle that for him? Just maybe he was on the H&R Block website. Can you imagine the president? H&R Block website, I got to do my taxes. They don't bother me. I'm doing my taxes. Wait until the last minute. The president and first lady released their tax return, $620,000 in income. The White House said the longstanding tradition of annually releasing presidential tax returns should continue unbroken. And they paid like 23% tax rate, which, again, wouldn't you think that the president would have people that could find more tax breaks? He would pay less than that, 25% tax bracket. I'm sure the, you know, would forego some of the deductions that he would be entitled to. You would think, yeah. Because, I mean, doesn't he basically work from home? He lives at the White House. Doesn't he work from home? He could claim the Oval Office as a home office expense. I mean, couldn't he? I would think you could write that up. I don't know. Anyway, there you go. Some of the most interesting. I just thought it was weird the president waited until the last day to file his taxes. So there you go. Some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Tuesday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchek. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly cloudy skies today, a high in the low 70s, a chance of showers tonight, a low around 60. The Hancock County Sheriff's Office, Findlay Police Department, and other police, fire, and EMS agencies across the area and country are saluting their dispatchers this week during National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week. Captain Mark Price with the Hancock County Sheriff's Office says dispatchers play a crucial role by providing that first initial contact with people to get them the help they need.
That's all done by those individuals sitting in the dispatch centers, working together to help us as first responders out in the field gain the information needed in a timely fashion so we can do our jobs.
Get more of our conversation with the captain about National Public Safety Telecommunicators Week in the story on our website. The Ohio Division of Liquor Control has released an interactive map of all the DORA's designated outdoor refreshment areas in the state.
This tool shows the DORA boundaries and locations and puts all of that information in one spot. It also includes the hours of operation and holiday schedules. There are 167 designated areas across Ohio for residents and tourists to explore. Each city or town will have specific cups to give to you to take your drink on the go from their particular business.
ONN's Tracy Townsend reporting. Findlay has had a DORA since May of 2021. The city of Findlay is updating the public on the status of several road construction projects that are ongoing throughout town. Among the projects underway this week, Broad Avenue and Bigelow Avenue will be down to one lane in either direction from Melrose Avenue to Main Street for curb replacement and resurfacing. See the full list of projects in the story on our website. 15 individuals will be enshrined in the Ohio High School Athletic Association Officials Hall of Fame, and 21 will be honored as the OHSAA Official of the Year in their respective sport during the OHSAA's annual Celebration of Officiating Banquet over the summer. See what local officials will be recognized in the story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news online anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you probably already know this. Construction is going to begin soon on a major redo of the Interstate 75 County Road 99 interchange on the north side of Findlay. It will be a reconfiguration to what is called a diverging diamond interchange. And joining us with more details is ODOT District Construction Engineer Dan Neese. And Dan, explain what led to the decision to incorporate a diverging diamond at this particular exit?
Well, Chris, we get that question a lot, and we looked at several different alternatives and did some feasibility analysis, and that's ultimately we ended up at a diverging diamond. The reason diverging diamond works so well is they kind of eliminate that left turn against traffic, so it's really easy to turn. It eliminates some traffic signal phasing. So it speeds things up. The traffic signals can work faster, and it moves commercial traffic really well. So all the semis in the area with the corporations and stuff on either side of County Road 99, you know, we got a lot of semi traffic out there, and it's going to move traffic through not only faster but safer.
And obviously, the projection is for a lot more traffic at that interchange in the coming years. So I know you also look at not just the here and now, but also what the future expansion in the area is going to look like.
That's correct, Chris. And anybody that's been through there recently has probably seen, you know, there's dirt moving out there now. There's a facility going in on the northeast corner. So that's going to be going on while we're constructing our project. And there's also some work taking place on the west side of County Road 99, on the south side of the road there. More things are being built. So, yeah, it's a
place. So you talk about the improved traffic flow with the diverging diamond, and kind of hand in hand with that are safety improvements, correct?
That is correct.
So, and what's interesting about this is folks may remember a few years ago when the US 224 exchange was redone, there was talk about incorporating a diverging diamond there, but a lot of people weren't really familiar with the concept. It was still very new at the time. Now there are a lot more of these out there, so you actually have the data to back up you know, what you're saying with respect to traffic flow and safety. It's not just theoretical. You actually have the data on this.
You're correct. We've got the engineering data, you know, to show that it does improve traffic flow. It is safer. There's several throughout the state, and they're becoming more common. I think the closest one's just to the north of us, up there on 475 and right. 25 Perrysburg, right mm-hmm. there by the Costco. So that's a good one to go check out for people in the area.
And is this sort of the way of the future? I mean, when we see, I mean, you know, eventually, you know, interchanges all over the state are going to have to be redone. I mean, it's just, you know, something that is natural. Is this, we're going to see more of these in the future? I mean, is that kind of the ultimate goal?
I think we will see more. Yeah, we're doing a lot of what we call alternative intersection or alternative designs. Mm-hmm. We don't do near as many of your standard you know, diamond interchanges like we've done in the past. We're looking more towards these, you know, we look at a lot of roundabouts. This diverging diamond's kind of a newer one. I think you'll see going in a lot of places. And, you know, back when County Road 99 and this interchange was built, there wasn't near this much traffic out there.
So, right.
So now we're doing things to increase safety. You know, we've been putting overheads on some of our more rural four lane, just to eliminate those ag grade intersections. So yeah, there's a lot of new things coming that I think are going to improve safety on our routes.
So with respect to this project, what is the timeline for all of this construction?
Well, that's what everybody wants to know, right? What's the timeline and where the traffic impact is going to be? So This job will be getting started here in the next couple of weeks. So we'll be out there in May, for sure, you know, moving dirt and getting things started. It's about a 2.5 year job. Most of that work's going to happen in the season, construction season 24 and 25. And then in 2026, there will be a little bit of work, kind of like the finish work, putting the, you know, the bow on top of the package, finishing things off. But, as far as 2024, we're going to be building a new bridge on the south side right next to the existing bridge over 75. So we're building a brand new bridge there, and we're going to be focusing all of our work on the south side of County Road 99.
Okay.
About a mile west of the interchange and then to the east as well. So okay. That'll be the first summer.
And that's an important point. One of the questions that I know has come up among the public, people remember that the existing overpass there was rebuilt not all that many years ago, and that existing overpass is not going to be torn down. It's going to be incorporated into this new project.
That is 100% correct. Yep. We are building the new bridge right next to it. And then the existing bridge is going to be rehabilitated. We're going to put a new concrete deck on top, and we're going to bring it up to our today's standards. So we're going to utilize both bridges when this project's complete.
So will that kind of speed up that timeline a little bit? The fact that you don't actually have to build two bridges?
Yes, it will speed up time, but not only speed up time, it'll allow us to keep traffic moving, across 55. Whereas we were just building one bridge, we probably have to look at doing some different things. But because we're going to be able to use the existing bridge while we build the new one, and then once we get the new one built, we're going to put traffic on the new one while we rehab the existing bridge.
So
it's a perfect scenario for
us. So the interchange will be able to remain open pretty much throughout the construction. There may be some times when there might be some traffic flow restricted here and there, but generally speaking, it will remain open throughout.
Yeah, generally speaking, yes, traffic will be able to move on County Road 99 and also use the ramps, and 75 should have minimal impacts as well.
Now, you actually have a public meeting that is coming up later today with more details for those who are interested in learning more, and people can see the diagrams, kind of see, how all of this will work and get those questions answered, correct?
Yeah, we have a great event planned later this afternoon. It's at 1:00. It's down at the Owens Community College facility. So about a mile and a half east of this interchange. If you just take County Road 99 to the east, you'll run right into it down there at Bright Road. It is in the Community Education and Wellness Center. So it's kind of on the southwest corner of their campus, and it is open to the public. So we encourage anybody and everybody to come out and come see us. We're going to talk a little bit about the project background, what we're going to be doing out there, and give, kind of a schedule, baseline schedule of how things are going to work. Talk about traffic impact. So anybody in the area that's interested, come on out.
Yeah. And as you were saying before, anybody who regularly travels across that interchange knows that it is overdue for some upgrades. And I think everybody who uses this on a regular basis is excited to see the possibilities and the improved traffic flow and the ability to handle more traffic, I think, is the biggest advantage, I think, for most people.
Yeah, it's going to be a huge improvement.
Again, ODOT District Construction Engineer Dan Neese is with us this morning talking about this upcoming redo of the Interstate 75 County Road 99 interchange, which is going to be getting underway here very, very soon. Dan, thanks very much for taking the time and give us an update. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Chris.
Well, it has been a good year so far for cryptocurrency with the launch of spot Bitcoin ETFs 3 months ago, allowing average investors to buy in a much more familiar setting. We were talking about that some time back. As a result, the price of Bitcoin has nearly tripled from where it was a year ago, although it still remains quite volatile. This is going to bring even more attention to something unique on the horizon called Bitcoin halving. And understanding what that is crucial for making informed decisions for those who are just starting to follow or invest in crypto. Benjamin Semchi is managing partner of Bitcoin Ben's Crypto Club and a cryptocurrency expert. Ben, what is Bitcoin halving and why is it important for people to know about this?
Well, what the halving is it is the amount of actual Bitcoin that is produced every 24 hours. 900 a day. That's what is produced.
Okay.
Every day is right around 900. All right. And after the halving, which is in the software, it happens every 4 years. That's actually cut in half. So the supply that is available is actually cut in half every 4 years. And if you have less supply of a valued asset, the price of the asset will increase.
That is typically the way anything works. So you're restricting the supply. It's a way of making sure that the market doesn't get oversaturated with this, in other words, right?
Right. It is the complete opposite of what our Federal Reserve does. They inflate our currency, which leads to inflation, which actually devalues your currency, your purchasing power. And what we have in a cryptocurrency, actual Bitcoin, is the complete opposite. So, it's the longer you hold it, the more it's worth.
So is this something unique to Bitcoin, or does it apply to other cryptocurrencies as well?
Well, there are other ones that are structured like that, but they aren't as globally accepted as actual Bitcoin.
So I'm thinking that, to put it in terms that maybe people can understand, that they may be more familiar with, because this is still a little bit mysterious to people, when you have a stock split, and I know that this is, again, kind of the opposite of that, that can impact the people who already hold a stock that ends up splitting. Does this affect those who already hold assets in Bitcoin in any way? From what it sounds like, you're just talking about additional Bitcoin entering the market. It really doesn't affect what people already may hold.
Right. If you hold 100 actual Bitcoin at the halving, you hold 100 actual Bitcoin.
Okay, so that doesn't...
It really affect you. It only affects the new supply.
So what is... what about the timing on this? Is there a set date when it's going to happen? Do we know when that's going to happen? I mean, again, we know when a stock split happens. It doesn't just, come about out of the blue. What about this? Do we know exactly when it's going to happen?
Yes, it happens approximately every 210,000 blocks, which is approximately 4 years. So every 4 years, like this one lands on April 20th at about 1 o'clock a.m.
And if somebody is thinking, if they haven't already bought in, but they're thinking about it, is it better to get in ahead of this halving or after it? I would imagine ahead of it, wouldn't it?
Yes, I would highly recommend that you educate yourself very, very quickly and you get in as soon as possible, because the earlier you get involved, the more you eventually make.
We mentioned this year, with the advent of the spot Bitcoin ETFs, it has allowed a lot more people to become more comfortable with the idea of investing in Bitcoin and cryptocurrency in general. But it is still something that is not widely understood. Talk about why you feel that understanding these digital currencies is essential in today's economy.
We are transitioning into a new system. Originally here in America, we actually dealt in silver. Then we evolved into using gold. Then we used paper money. Mm-hmm. Then we used credit cards. Now everything is going digital. And that's where the future is. This is just the natural evolution of human exchange of value.
You call it the new rich revolution. Benjamin Semchi is the managing partner of Bitcoin Ben's Crypto Club, a cryptocurrency expert, talking about the upcoming Bitcoin halving, as in cutting the supply, the new supply in half, as you were referencing. Where do folks go to learn more about this and kind of educate themselves on, again, what you call this new rich revolution?
Yes, we have a website, which is actually Bitcoin Ben Crypto Club, and that's the secret. Get educated. Move slowly. Don't rush in, but learn quickly. Learn quickly. Move slowly.
Ben, thanks very much for taking the time and kind of sharing your insight on this. We appreciate it.
Absolutely, Chris. Thank you.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN, WFIN.com, and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
Dateline, St. Petersburg, Florida. So, you know, this is going to be good. Joseph Tresselt, age 32, has been arrested for allegedly assaulting his roommate with a wad of pizza dough. I'm just thinking, you know, we can laugh about headlines like this, but how would you like to be an anchor in St. Petersburg who has to read this with a straight face? Mr. Tresselt was reportedly making pizza when he got into an argument with his roommate, Elvis Singleton, after Mr. Singleton started telling him how to make the pizza. You know what they say, too many cooks, right? Mr. Tresselt reportedly grew angry and threw a piece of pizza dough onto the floor, then again at Mr. Singleton, striking him in the head. Fortunately, Mr. Singleton was not injured, but police were called, and in the report, they noted that there was no visible bruising on Mr. Singleton's head following the incident. Mr. Tresselt, though, nonetheless was arrested and charged with misdemeanor battery as well as criminal mischief for allegedly breaking a piece of furniture in Mr. Singleton's room as the argument continued to escalate. Mr. Tresselt, who has assaulted Mr. Singleton before, was also ordered to have no contact with his roommate and was barred from returning to their shared apartment. I would think that after the first assault, you would be looking for another roommate. Maybe this isn't working out. Can you imagine he gets to jail and cellmate, what are you in for? I assaulted my roommate with a pizza dough. I've got pizza dough and I know how to use it. Stay away from me. Elsewhere in the broken news, from Anaheim, California, a guest at Disneyland is claiming that she was permanently injured when Goofy fell on her. Apparently this happened at Disney's California Great Adventure Park, or Disney's California Adventure Park. Katrina Griffin says she was at the park in April of 2022, when the incident occurred. She was reportedly tying her daughter's shoe when the character walked into her and then fell on top of her. Goofy assaulted her and injured her. She is seeking damages for negligence and claims that her injuries will result in some permanent disability. Permanently disabled by Goofy. All right. That does seem a bit goofy to me. I don't know. This is kind of cool, actually. A new product to ward off intruders in your home or your apartment. The new paint cam system can fire paintball pellets with ultra-high precision. And this would not be only, I would guess, to ward off would-be burglars, but, you know, door-to-door salesmen or people handing out pamphlets for this, that, or the other thing. You know, you can... The home security system uses automatic target marking and AI-based decision-making. It will first give a warning to anyone it doesn't know. And if they don't vacate the premises, it will fire off the paintballs. And the system will also be able to identify pets and can be set to fire at unknown animals. So you want to scare off... you know, the wild animals from your front porch. One question remains unclear. Will the paint cam system fire at your Uber Eats delivery driver? You know, or something like that. Or your Amazon delivery person. Or the mailman, you know? Apparently, later on this month, the paint cam team will launch a Kickstarter campaign where they will share more details. But I like this idea. I think the concept holds promise. We'll see. Have to follow up with that. A follow-up on this broken news item. You remember the story we had, I think it was about a week and a half ago, about the object that fell through the roof of someone's home in Florida they believe came from the International Space Station? You remember that story, right? So apparently now a follow-up, NASA has confirmed that the object that crashed through the roof of a Florida home last month did indeed come from the ISS, the International Space Station. It was part of a cargo pallet loaded with 5,800 pounds of old batteries that hit the home in Naples back on March 8th. The pallet was expected to burn up in Earth's atmosphere, and now scientists are trying to figure out why their calculations were incorrect, and this object made it through the atmosphere and crashed through this person's home. A 5,800-pound battery from the... Now, I don't know if it was 5,800 pounds, whether some of it burned off, but 5,800 pounds, that's like... That's like an SUV. That's the weight of an SUV crashing through somebody's home. It's a little disconcerting knowing that there are things that could be falling off this space station that's circling the Earth. And who knows where they might land. I mean, we laughed about this when we had the initial story, trying to explain that to your insurance company. But this could, I guess, virtually happen to anyone. They don't know why this thing didn't burn up in the atmosphere like it was supposed to. I'd want you to figure that out. Let's get on that. Figure that out. The homeowner says he is eager to resolve the damages, which is news speak for there's going to be a big lawsuit filed. It's going to be a big lawsuit filed in this case. That's amazing. It was like the size of an SUV falling through somebody's roof. Man, let's figure out how we can prevent that from happening again. And finally, in the broken news this morning, this out of Oklahoma, where Cameron Clifford says that his son, who's 9 years old, wanted a pet octopus. And so, like any good dad, Cameron granted his son's wish. He got him an octopus. What could go wrong? Well, Clifford found out what could go wrong real quick when Terrence the octopus, which was the name that his son gave to the octopus, Terrence, spawned 50 babies. 50 baby octopuses, or octopi, I guess is how you say that, I guess. Besides Terrence being bigger than they expected, Clifford says he ended up blowing $300 a week to overnight the proper food for all of the 50 hatchlings. Then there was the water damage to his house from suddenly from one octopus going to 50 octopi in the tank. And he says he still has to fix that. All in all, Mr. Clifford figures he spent around $3,000 to $4,000 taking care of all of these octopi since all of this started. And apparently it's been going on for a year. Because I would imagine, I mean, it's hard enough if you have ever had a dog that's had puppies and tried to give them away, you know, find homes for all of the puppies. You know, it's not very easy. You can imagine it's probably even more difficult to get rid of 50 baby octopus. Kind of hard to pawn those off on people. The message, Mr. Clifford says, do not get a pet octopus unless you're ready to lose sleep and lose your kids' college fund simultaneously. Despite the challenges, though, Mr. Clifford says, seeing the joy that Terrence and his brood has brought to his kids has been worth it. I don't know about that. I don't know if I'd say it's worth it. I understand we'll do anything for our kids, but I don't know about that. There you go. That is today's Broken News Report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Take WFIN wherever you go with our updated mobile app for iPhone and Android. And now you can listen to us on your Alexa device. Get the app at WFIN.com or in the App Store or Google Play. Plus, enable Alexa by searching for WFIN under skills, and you'll soon be saying, Alexa, play 1330 WFIN. And the best part is the apps and skills are absolutely free. On the air at 1330 WFIN and 95.5 FM. Online at WFIN.com and on your smartphone, tablet, and Alexa devices.
Time now for your daily download, the numbers behind the news, and the statistics that shape our lives. April has been a very busy month. I mean, it started with Easter, which was actually the last day of March, but you know, you're just heading into April and you have Easter, and that starts it off. And then a week later, we had the eclipse, and then yesterday, we had tax deadline day. And there is still yet one more big event that is coming up this weekend. We're talking, of course, about National Marijuana Day on 420. And because April the 20th is close at hand, and it happens to fall on a Saturday this year, maybe you want to make a weekend out of it, perhaps, if you are into such things. With that in mind, in honor of 420, National Marijuana Day, the folks at the travel website UpgradedPoints.com did a deep dive to find the most pot-friendly destinations in the U.S. Places that you might want to visit if you are so inclined to observe National Marijuana Day. Of the 24 states in which recreational marijuana is legal, Boulder, Colorado, offers more than 104 pot-friendly places to stay per 100,000 residents. Whether we're talking about Airbnbs where the owners are totally cool with it, to bed and breakfast spots where the wacky weed is part of the hospitality. So they totaled all of these up. Boulder, Colorado is the number one destination for those who will be partaking for 420. Let's see here. Coming in second on their list was Burlington, Vermont, with more than 87 such establishments, pot-friendly places to stay per 100,000 residents. After that, it drops pretty quickly. So Boulder, Burlington, and then a relatively distant third, with 57.3 pot-friendly places to stay per 100,000 residents, was Las Vegas, Nevada. So that's number three on the list. And before you start to think, I don't think there are no pot-friendly places on the Strip to stay. There might be some, you know, off-strip hotels or what have you. But mostly we're talking Airbnbs and bed and breakfast and that kind of thing. So anyway, Las Vegas, number three. Scottsdale, Arizona, with 46.5. And Portland, Maine, at 43.8. Round out the top five. On the other end of the spectrum, which is kind of interesting, among the states where weed is legal, the cities with the smallest share of smoke-friendly rentals, Chicago, Illinois, Reno, Nevada, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Columbus, Ohio, and New York City. So Columbus at the bottom of the list, or almost the very bottom of the list, although, interestingly, Columbus, where weed-friendly stays average $127 per night, is the cheapest place for weed travels, if you will, according to the study. So there may not be that many, but the ones that are out there are very affordable. So that's the bottom line. If you want to check the full list, you can go to upgradedpoints.com. So, happening around town, the inaugural one was a big success. So now it is time to put the pedal down, as it were, and break the cycle of homelessness with the second annual bicycle tour for City Mission. Sharon Wise is here from City Mission with all of the details. Sharon, good morning.
Thanks good morning.
For dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I remember talking about this last year, and obviously it went well because we're back doing it again.
Yeah, it went really good last year, so we're excited to be presenting it again this year. We added a little mini route for the families because we had some families that wanted to do it. So we have a 3K for just for families.
Okay.
But then we still go all the way up to the 100K. So for those experienced cyclists.
Yeah, those who really want to push yourselves. So this is all happening. The date is Saturday, May 4th. So it's a couple of weeks out yet. Give us all of the details here because, as you mentioned, there are different routes and there are different things going on.
So. Oh, well. Well, we're excited. Blanchard Valley Hospital is our co-sponsor this year. So they're really great, and they're sending some cyclists, which we're excited about.
Mm-hmm.
You show up at First Presbyterian Church. 7 a.m. registration starts. The mayor will be doing our shotgun start at 8:30. Since it is on May 4th, we have a little surprise. And for the Star Wars fans and things like that.
May the 4th be
with
you.
Yes, may the 4th be with you.
Yeah, we get it.
We do have someone dressing like Obi-Wan Kenobi with a lightsaber to lead the pack out.
That'll be fun. That would be interesting on a bicycle. I'm not sure how that will how that will work.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting
worry
to
about
see.
Getting
it's
my
fun.
Fur caught in the chain there. But anyway, yeah, but that'll be fun.
In the morning, we'll have the baking company is doing, or not baking, I'm sorry. We're having cinnamon rolls and coffee in the morning.
Cinnamon rolls and coffee. Okay, there you go. There we go.
And then my fault. And then we still have the rest areas along the route with lots of snacks and things. And then when you come back to the church at the end, we'll have a cookout, hot dogs, hamburgers, snacks, and everything for the cyclists at the end.
Terrific.
And this is all for $35.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned there's the family route, is 3K.
Yep.
There's the big route for
100
K.
And there's a 30 and a 60 in between.
30 and a 60 in between. Okay. So if you're not, if you're a little bit more than just the family route, but you're not quite to the 100.
Yep.
And these are all, they go right through Findlay?
They actually lead out of Findlay. The only one that stays in Findlay is the 3K, the short one.
All right.
The rest of them lead out, go through Bluffton, Pandora, Mount Corey.
Oh, wow.
They head all out in the southern part of the county and enjoy things down that way.
Very cool.
So it's a beautiful route to ride.
Yeah. As we mentioned, this is a all to benefit City Mission.
It does.
And talk a little bit about what you will put the proceeds to you, how you will put the proceeds to use. What are you going to do with the funds raised from
the funds go right back to helping the programs and things like that. One of their programs is our bicycling thing. It's the Wheels of Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
So when guests come to us, a lot of them don't have cars or vehicles, and we do provide transportation, but a lot of them want that independence to be able to get to places where they want.
Mm-hmm.
So we have volunteers that come in, and they help fix up the donated bikes, and then we can give them a bike to be able to ride with us. And when they leave the mission, they get to keep that bike.
Yeah.
So they're registered, they're made road safety, everything. So it's
can't
a great
really
way.
Give them can't really give them a car. But
no, we
you
can't
can,
give them a car. But we give them a bike.
Give them a bicycle, and that
it
you know,
does give them that independence to get around town as they need.
Mm-hmm. And so, that first step,
it is
a lot of what City Mission does in terms of helping people take those first steps back to sustainability.
We are growing. Martha's Home will be opening midsummer. We have the warehouse now, so we can take larger donations. We just had our benefit garage sale, which was a huge success. And a lot of the donations that come in, the guests come with nothing. So we make sure they have what they need when they're there. But then when they leave, they can come to the warehouse because we're allowed to take bigger things now and get things for their first home. So we're trying to get everybody set up for success once they come to us and they make that next step.
Yeah. Some time ago, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking with the folks at Hope House, and we were talking about the issue of homelessness in the community. And again, this is your mission as well. This is something that people don't always see in this community, but it is here. I mean, we deal with it just like every community deals with it. And we were just talking before we went on the air, it is a growing issue.
It is a growing issue in the area. If you think about our family suites right now, we have 5. There's a waiting list for family suites, which means there are families that are homeless that we can't help because we don't have enough. That's where Martha's Home is going to come in, where it's for women with children. We'll be able to double that.
Kind of like let that sink in. We're talking families, not talking individuals, or not talking about the stereotypical vagrants that we think of. That when we think homelessness, that's the thing that immediately comes to. We're talking families here.
At Easter, we had 11 children. That is the most children that the City Mission's ever had. We were housing 11 children with their parents, or their mother, or their father, whichever.
Yeah,
but that's a lot of children.
Yeah,
and it's just.
Well, one is a lot.
One's a lot. But think about 11.
But 11,
We had a mother come in yesterday with an infant. There's a lot of it going on. And it's not just the men and the women. It's families, too, that it's happening to.
Yeah. So the second annual Break the Cycle of Homelessness bicycle tour to help fund the work that you do for those who are in need. Do folks need to sign up in advance? Or
you can sign up the day of, but it is easier if you sign up ahead of time.
Okay.
We have links on our event page on the City Mission page.
Okay.
You can contact me by calling the City Mission and hitting option 2.
Okay.
Let's see, my email, any way to get a hold of me.
Right.
I can make sure you get that to put up. But that's,
So
the easiest way is that link on the Facebook page right now.
And again, you don't necessarily have to sign up. If the morning of
you wake up
and you say, hey, I feel like a bike ride today, you can take care of that.
Yep,
but it all starts at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. is registration start.
Right. Bright and early.
Yep.
And so hopefully cross our fingers for a day like today.
Oh, yes. We're hoping for great weather.
we've got a link on our webpage for more information about it at goodmornings.net. And again, Sharon Wise from City Mission with us. This morning. Sharon, thanks very much for dropping by. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining. Of course, remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the program at our webpage. Check us out online at goodmornings.net. Coming up tomorrow on the program, State Representative John Cross will join us with his reaction to the governor's priorities laid out in last week's State of the State address, plus the latest in our series of crime prevention conversations, making for a safer community. So until tomorrow morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.